ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita 9, chapter, text 14. Satatam kirtayanto mam. Yatantas cha tritavrata namasyantas cha mam. Bhaktya Nitya Yukta Upasate. Satatam kirtayantamam. Satatam kirtayantamam. Yatantascha tritavrata. Yadantascha tritavrataha Namasyantascha mam nitbhaktya Namasyantascha mam bhaktya Nitya yukta upasate Nitya yukta upasate Satatam kirtayanto mam Yadantascha tritavrataha Namasyantascha mam bhaktya Nitya yukta upasate Satatam
Always
Kirtayanta Chanting Mam
About me
Yatantaha
fully endeavoring
cha also tritavrataha with determination namasyanta
offering obeisances
cha
and
mam
me
bhaktya in devotion,
nitya yuktaha,
perpetually engaged,
upasate,
worship.
Translation, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls, perpetually worship me with devotion.
Purport.
The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here as Mahatma is always engaged, a Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he's not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising His holy name. His eternal form, His transcendental qualities, and His uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things, therefore a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmajyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or human being. That is devotion. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu and Smaranam, remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything, in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadasi, and on the appearance day of the Lord, like Jamastami or like that. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatmas, great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any position, either as a householder, or a sannyasi, or a brahmachari. In any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus become actually Mahatma, a great soul. Satatam kirtayam tamam etantascha tridhavrata namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Om agyati maranyasya kananchana salakyam chakshurun militam yena tasma shi grave namaha si chaitanya manopinstam stapidam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam tadati svapadantikam mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayati karim yat kripatam maham bande shi kurum dinataranam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So this text number 14 is a continuation of text 13, yesterday's verse, where Krishna explained who is a Mahatma. Mahatmanas tumam pata daivim prakritim ashrita pachanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutadam avyam. Oh, here stated, O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So only a bhakta, only a devotee can know what is bhakti. Bhakti means devotional service. And bhakti attains ninefold process, beginning with Ravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnasmaranam, Padanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. So it's this ninefold process, what the Mahachans, headed by Sri Prahlad Maharaj, was teaching. Actually, Bhagavatam means the glorification of the Lord. From very beginning, Jamadhyasa yatan vayat itratascha teja abhigyasvarat tene brahma prida adi kavaye muyantya surayaha. From very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, very first verse, it's glorification of Krishna. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. It's very clear. And in the end, end sloka, in the 12th canto, the very last verse, it's also glorification. Described that only Sankirtan in the age of Kali will benefit the people and purify them and lead them to the supreme perfection of life. So Sankirtan means glorification. But glorification doesn't mean only hearing chanting. Sometimes we think Kirtanam only means hearing chanting. No, actually all ninefold process, according to Acharya, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev, Vidyabhushan, pointing out, actually Kirtanam means the whole ninefold process, not only Shravanam Kirtanam. Shravanam Kirtanam is the beginning, but for a neophyte, it's not recommended to only to engage in Shravanam Kirtanam, because one has to live in a secluded place, be fixed and determined. But we should engage in the association of devotees, in hearing, chanting, remembering, and serving Krishna in various ways, by worshipping the deity, visiting the temple, following certain festivals, and vratas, and like an ekadasi, like today, fasting, chanting more rounds, more chanting Hare Krishna, doing some extra endeavor for devotional service, for pleasing Krishna. And all this is done in the association of devotees. So, archanam means deity worship. Vandanam, offering prayers. Also, it's glorification. Offering the various prayers by the Vaishnavas. How to appreciate and admire the Lord's wonderful activities. Therefore, the Lord is known as Uttamashloka. Uttamashloka means he who is glorified with very chosen prayers, with transcendental prayers. So his glories are always glorified. His activities, wonderful activities. His Urukrama. Krishna's Urukrama. He performs very wonderful deeds. And these wonderful deeds are glorified by his devotees, who are Mahachans or Mahatma. Only actually a devotee can be a Mahatma. Nowadays in India, everyone tells anyone who is a little elder and a little knowledgeable or sadhu-like is a Mahatma. Even politicians can be a Mahatma. Get the title Mahatma. Even some that get the title Mahatma. But here Prabhupada is clearly defines Mahatma, according to Bhagavad Gita, is somebody who is a devotee of Krishna, who is devoted, who is engaged in bhakti process, not for material motivation, for his personal benefit, but for the benefit and for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. This is bhakti. And only that kind of bhakti is actually pleasing to the Lord and is pleasing to the soul. That's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the very first canto, in the beginning when Sutta Goswami speaks. He says, Srinvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana ridyantakstu bhadrani vidhunoti suritsatam. So, by Krishna Katha, Sutta Goswami, defines Krishna Katha as Punya Shravana Kirtana. It is pious, purifying hearing, Shivam. It's very purifying, the Kirtan. It's the only thing that actually purifies the heart, the super soul in the heart. Srinatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Riti Antak Stu Abhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. So the Lord in the heart, He removing all inauspicious things. What is keeping the devotee back in to make further progress. So we are all entangled or attached to fruitive activities, to mental speculation, to selfish activities. So we are cultivated this kind of mentality since many, many lifetimes, and also from this very lifetime, from very beginning. It's always I and me and mine. And then later on we also think like that. But kirtan means to give the attention to glorify ourselves, or become very happy if somebody glorifies us, to glorify Krishna instead. We all become very happy. Even if an enemy or a cheater comes to you and he glorifies you, you become immediately happy and you give your heart to him and attention, and immediately he cheats you and takes everything away from you. So, because they know the psychology. Actually, the whole material world is cheater and be cheated. And what it is based on kirtanam. Shravanam and kirtanam, somebody hears the glory, glorifying a certain product, glorifying yourself as a very good customer, a very nice person. You are a very good person to consume our wonderful product. So we all glorify material products, we glorify ourselves, we glorify certain companies, certain countries. Because everyone likes to chant one's own glory. When somebody chants your own glory, then you have suddenly 100 years, you don't fall asleep. But if we are chanting the glories of the Lord immediately, Shivan, we're falling down and sleeping. But if I glorify somebody like you, then immediately, finally somebody who recognizes me. How great and wonderful qualities I have. Although externally I'm very humble, of course. So I'm very sure. Thank you for the compliment. I don't deserve it, although I like to hear it secretly. So we all have this program since time immemorial, because that's the soul's program. Krishna likes, because it's in Krishna. Krishna likes to hear his glories. But his glories are extraordinary. His Uttama Shloka, his Urukrama. It's wonderful, extraordinary. These are qualities. And our qualities we like to glorify, although we don't have any or not much, we become immediately proud. If you glorify Krishna, he doesn't become proud. He knows, I'm Krishna. These qualities eternally belong to him. And we have maybe a little spark of some of the glorious qualities of Krishna in a very little tiny fraction of quality maybe we have, and immediately we become proud and think, yes, now I made it, I'm very special and very great. So we can understand, if we are already think or consider others who are very wonderful and special in with their minor quality of Krishna's quality, how much greater Krishna must be. Krishna is like the sun, we are just like sparks, of the sunshine, not of the sun itself, or just from sunshine, a little spark. So how much greater the sun must be. So we are very much impressed by the sunshine or by the sun sparks. But how much greater must be the sun? And it's unlimited, this quality and this energy and this brilliance and so much unlimited. So Krishna's qualities are described as unlimited, therefore is known as Ananta. Therefore, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying the Lord is Ananta, and Krishna's pastimes or Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are also Ananta. They're unlimited. And although Lord Ananta with his thousand mouths tries to glorify Krishna's and Lord Chaitanya's qualities and pastimes, since time immemorial, he never comes to an end. Sometimes we start to glorify the Lord, but then after 20 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour maximum, finally we should maybe change subject. Come to the reality of life again. Go to our work. Do my job and all these things. So we become immediately bored after some time of engaging in kirtan or Krishna katha. We're falling asleep, we will become unattentive. But that's the training. And Krishna gives here the tip, you know, the direction, you know. We have to be tritavrata. We have to become tritavrata. Tritavrata means very firm, very determined in our vow. Very determined in our vow to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra a certain numbers of rounds, like 16 rounds, 32 rounds, a Kadasi maybe more, 25 rounds, or 64 rounds. Everyone who takes a vow, a vrata, in chanting, you know, he has to be determined. Not that today I chant 64 rounds, I'm in the mood, and today I chant 16 rounds, I'm in the mood. Or maybe today I don't chant, I'm not in the mood. Because I'm not in the mood. Ticker? Klar? Clear? Because I'm not in the mood, and then therefore I'm not motivated. I don't have lust for it. We say, I don't have any lust, any gusto for it. Because I only do that what I like. And that what I don't like, I don't do. Even though Shastra recommend, Guruji recommend. But because I don't like, I don't do it. Then we are not Shishya. Then we are cheater. And we only bluff. We want to have cheap Guruji. Who give us some nice process. So that I can become magical. And some mystic powers, or even become God myself. This is our problem. Then we find cheater, you know, who also tell you, take this mantra, take this process, and just give your money and everything to me, and then in a short time you will become God. Or liberated in Brahman, merging, become liberated, one with God. That's a cheat. But the glorification of Krishna is eternal. It's not that, and we should not think glorification of Krishna is only now in this life, and in after I'm perfect in my life, Siddha, I don't have to chant anymore. Then I become mauna. I become silent, I don't speak anymore. Therefore we see sometimes, even some yogis and the yoga groups, New Age, nowadays, that they, and even comes from longer time ago, their proposal is, we chant also kirtan, japa, all this is very nice. So many Mayavadi groups nowadays, they chant Govinda Jai Jaya, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, also with other mantras, Jai Ram, Shri Ram, then with the Durga, then Ganesh, then Hanuman. And so different kinds of gods, but they're also mixing with Krishna, then Shiva. Om Shivaya Namaha, Om Shivaya Namaha. And so very popular in yoga groups. And they sing. They sing and everyone is completely like that, ecstatic. Or chanting Gayatri Mantra aloud, but actually should not be. Gayatri Mantra is Dhimahi, means meditation mantra. It should not be chanted loudly. like sometimes we hear even in loudspeakers, is Om Pur Bhuvas Vant, and completely you're melting away there, you know, in the vibration. But it's actually a meditation mantra. It's silently chanted. It's also glorification about the Lord, but in meditation. So therefore jnana, or absorption, or remembrance about Krishna, is also glorification. So, but there are kirtan mantras, there's certain kirtan mantras, like Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and others, Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Yashamati Nandana, there are kirtan mantras, they should be chanted loudly before the Lord in the association of devotees. And Krishna, because he hears these mantras or these names of the Lord, because they are compiled by great Mahatmas, as stated here. The Mahatmas, they glorify the Lord from the heart. And because these songs are composed by the Mahatmas, like Yashamati Nandana, Hari Harai Nama Krishna, and so on, they're not composed by non-devotee or some mundane Schläger or pop song. It is a song by a recognized Acharya, Mahachan, Mahatma. And therefore the Lord is accepting it. Because these songs come from the realization, from the bhav of the devotee. And that is what the Lord is accepting. It's not just some nice melody. It's the holy name. All these different holy names who are all very dearly related to Krishna's eternal Leela in Goloka. And also here in the Leela in Vrindavan, who is not different from Goloka, Gokul here in Vrindavan. It's very, Krishna had so many Leelas, and therefore all these names are in relation with Krishna, with his devotees, with his pastimes, who are very dear to him and to his devotees. Therefore, Krishna becomes very attracted if the devotee is chanting these holy names with determination, not whimsically, and not out of fashion, and not in the purpose, yes, I'm chanting for a certain time until I become perfect, and then I go in nirvana, or become mauna, I become silent. Maivad is making this point. It's like a clay pot. If a clay pot gives sound, like the Midanga here, gives a sound. Why it gives sound? Because it's whole inside. Therefore, as long we are whole inside, as long we are not full or filled, we have to make sound, we have to sing, we have to speak, we have to engage our senses. But if our vessel, clay, our body, our heart becomes filled, with God consciousness or Krishna consciousness and become Krishna ourselves, then we don't have to chant anymore. Like if this midanga is filled with water or with sand, you still hear sound? No more sound. Finish. And that's the logic behind it. That if a vessel is filled, it doesn't give sound from him. Therefore, like we are same, if we are full with the Brahman realization, with Brahman consciousness, Krishna consciousness, with the mantra, then we don't have to sing it outside anymore, then it's inside. But Acharya gives argument. We are not a vessel. We are not a clay pot. Not a clay pot. The clay pot is this is like that. But we are not clay pot. We are not this body, we are spirit soul. And the nature of the Jivatma, the nature of the spirit soul, is to chant. Maivadi also gives the argument, where in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that we have to chant loudly the holy name? Here is the verse. Satatam kirtayantamam. Satatam, not only kirtan one time and then stop. Satatam, constantly, that we should always chant. Determination, tritavrata. That's what the Lord recommends. So therefore Krishna Kirtan, or that we sing in Kirtan or Sankirtan, it's even in the Gita, in the 9th chapter here. The 9th chapter is very confidential. It's a confidential section of knowledge about Krishna. Rajoguhya Yoga, the king of knowledge about yoga in relation to Krishna. So here Krishna makes it very clear that he is devotee. Impersonally, maybe chant for some time, but then give it up. Materialists, they don't take it seriously at all. They like to sing mundane Schläger. They like to sing, glorify others, who are not God, as they would be God. But we are not caring for them, because here Krishna tells, my devotee, become my devotee. Become a Mahatma by following Mahatma, not Duratma. If you follow Duratma, the fickle-minded, the small-minded, those who have no interest in serving Krishna, in surrendering to Krishna, who have no interest in bhakti, then they're following the way of karma. But the devotee follows the way of Mahatma. Atmanastamam parta daivim prakritim ashrita. So the Mahatma is recognized by taking shelter in the daivi prakriti, in the Lord's internal energy. And the devotee is not taking shelter in the external energy. Although he has a material body, he is engaging always in Krishna service, beginning with hearing, chanting, remembering. So in this way, he always follows the direct process of bhakti, beginning with Ramanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam. This is a direct process. The devotee doesn't have to go through a secondary process, as I pointed out last time. We can go directly in the direct process. That's the process what Krishna and what our parampara, especially the merciful Narad Muni and Sri Vyasadev and so on, are recommending. Because Vyasadev, as I pointed out last time, he was not satisfied, although he composed so many literatures, Puranas and Upanishads and the Vedanta and the Mahabharata. But he was still not felt very pleased, very happy inside. He was very concerned, something was not proper. Something maybe I didn't complete it properly, or perform properly. Although I'm strict in my vow, I'm Tritavrata, I perform my religious duties every day, punctures, sandhyas, rising early in the morning, doing my morning purification, taking bath, chanting mantras, meditation, doing achman, worship like that, 16 upacharas. So he did all this. He performed the varnasham dharma, his dharma as a grihastha. He was grihastha, and he was a sadhu, he was a brahmana, he was a great sage. He also gave guidelines in the Mahabharata how everyone will become perfect by following varna and ashramas, and how the stri dharma, shudra dharma, brahmana dharma, kshatriya dharma, all these different dharmas of the different castes and the varnas and ashramas, it is defined, woman duties, all is described. But still, he thought, something I was lacking, what I did wrong. And at that moment, Narad Muni came. Son of Brahma. Narad Muni tells Vyasadeva immediately what he did wrong. You didn't glorify Krishna enough.
And actually, instead to do something good to the people, you encourage them in fruitive activities, in karma, with the attainment of liberation ultimately. And in this way, you did something very unrighteous. Therefore, Narada Muni, he emphasized and convinced Vyasadeva, you know, that he has to glorify the Lord more in his scripture, in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Although Vyasadeva, he had already preliminary slokas of Bhagavatam in his mind, because 18 Puranas were there, but not fully manifested, the Bhagavatam. Only after he heard Narada's instruction and Shukadev Goswami's, his son's, recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, and later on Sutta Goswami's recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, then he compiled the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in his entire form, as we have it today, with 18,000 slokas and 445 chapters, and 18,000 slokas. So then he composed this Grantharaj, the king of all knowledge. And so he passed it on to his son Shukadev, who was already self-realized. He was an Atmarama. He was a self-realized person already in the womb of his mother. He didn't want to take birth. He was afraid to come out because he thought, why I have to come to the material world of activities, of duality, if I'm already situated in the perfect stage of liberation, Atmarama, I'm self-satisfied, I don't want to take birth. What to do? Vyasadeva, he wanted to have this son, because that was the destiny, that Shukadev, he should become the Bhagavatam representative of Sri Vyasadeva. So what to do? So Vyasadeva, he had a mystical power. He had a blessing. Whatever he thinks about, you know, the Lord will appear. So he was thinking about the Lord of Dwaraka, Lord Krishna. At that time he was residing in Dwaraka, and the Lord immediately appeared before Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva requested him, please can you convince my son Shukadev, who is already more than 14 years in the womb of his mother, doesn't want to come out, please convince him. And then Krishna, he preached, he spoke with Shuka in the womb, and promised the boy, when you come out, you will not fall victim of Maya, you just engage in this mission of your father, preaching the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way you will not, lose your realization of Atmarama. Your self-realization will not go lost. You can actually become more deeper absorbed in Bhagavatam, because you're already absorbed in the transcendence. And the interesting point is why Shukadev Goswami had to speak the Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit before the assembly of so many sadhus and sages from all over the universe who came. And even Vyasadev and Narada were there. Why? Because most of the audience in that time, of the sages, they were impersonalists. They were Brahmavadis, not Mayavadi. They were Brahmavadi. Brahmavadi and Mayavadi is different. Brahmavadi is a jnani who ultimately is a scientist. Scientific process going from karma to jnana and ultimately attain liberation, and if he's very lucky, he can attain Vaikuntha. So many of the sages were Brahmavadis. And therefore, that the devotee the personality who spoke the Bhagavatam to take him seriously, you know, he was a Brahmavadi himself. And he was the son of Yasudev. He was very famous. He was recognized. And therefore everyone immediately recognized Shukadev Goswami's authority. And therefore accepted everything from him, because he came from the impersonalistic school, from the Brahmavada school, from Jnani school. And he could present the Bhagavatam in such a wonderful way, so that everyone ultimately became convinced and impressed of the wonderful presentation and the realization of Shukadev Goswami about the glories of the Lord and about devotional service to Krishna in bhakti. Even Vyasadev and Narada were present. And for them, when they heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, it was as they had never heard it before. They were so much attracted. That shows Bhagavatam is dynamic. Bhagavatam is dynamic. It is Krishna himself. Krishna is Svatama Bhagate, Dharma Jnani Bhisaha, Kalonasta Dishamesha, Purunar Kodunoditaha. Srimad Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun. And all Dharma, all Jnana, all Vairagya took shelter in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the sages of Naimisharanya, the last question of the six that they had, the sutta, first six questions, the last one, where religious principles in the age of Kali take shelter after Krishna left? Because Dharma, art, Dharma and Jnana and Vairagya, they must go with the Lord. Because whenever the Lord appears, then bhakti, jnana, and vairagya, they come with the Lord. Therefore, everything was very beautiful, very Krishna conscious, and very inspired in Krishna consciousness in that time when Krishna appeared. Everything became auspicious. But when Krishna left, everything must become inauspicious, because Kali, darkness, appeared. The age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So the sages wondered where Krishna, after Krishna left, where all these beautiful things like jnana and vairagya and bhakti is taking shelter. And then the answer is, it took shelter in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is therefore representative of Krishna in the age of Kali. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishrayasaya Lokasya Danyam Svasta Namahat. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is compiled by Srila Vyasadev. It's the literary incarnation of the Lord. And Srila Vyasadev is the Lord Bhagavan Rishi in the form of a great sage, the compiler of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam. It's Brahma Samhita. It's a transcendental literature. Amala Puranam Vaishnavanam Priyam. And it's very, very dear to the Vaishnavas. It's not dear to the Mayavadis, because they don't like glorification of the Lord on the long term. Although it is described that Shankaracharya, who was the Mayavadi founder Acharya, he didn't make a commentary to the Srimad Bhagavatam, but he later on he started to glorify Krishna with the Govindastakam. So he compiled Govindastakam, where he completely glorified Krishna, and he also told Bacha Govinda, Bacha Govinda, Bacha Govinda, Mudamate, you are fools, worship Govinda, glorify Govinda. So he himself, he never touched Bhagavatam, he didn't make commentary. Only the followers of Shankaracharya later on, started to make commentary. Some parts of where they could, not everywhere, but was fitting for them. But Bhagavatam is very difficult scripture to make commentary for impersonalists, because it's a Vaishnava literature. It's Vaishnavanam Priyam. It's a Vaishnava Granta. And therefore the Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very dear and very preferred by the Vaishnavas. They always take this. It's stated, wherever Bhagavatam is in the house, in the library, there's Krishna there. And where Bhagavatam is not there, you should not enter in that house. It's a dark house. But wherever Vaishnava literature like Bhagavatam is there, there Krishna is there. All perfection is there. There is blessing, is all auspiciousness. So Shukadev Goswami, he spoke the Bhagavatam, and Silivyasa in presence also of his spiritual master and grand spiritual master, Narada Muni. And for them it was like new. I mean, Shukadev Goswami presented in such a realized and fresh way that even his spiritual master and grand spiritual master didn't hear this kind of narration with so much power, with so much ecstasy, and with so much realization. Sukha Mukha Amrita Travasam Yutam. Therefore, by the recitation of Shukha Goswami's mouth, the sweet fruit of the Vedic desire tree became even more sweet. Sukha Mukha Amrita Travasam Yutam. And it became very relishable for those who like to relish taste, rasa. Srimad Bhagavatam is as Prabhupada is pointing out, Vaishnava literature leads to rasa, to relationship with Krishna. In Shantya, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. That's actually the purpose of the scripture. We can read scripture like ABC as it is printed, or in a philosophical way, but we can also read it in drinking the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And that is actually the nourishment, the Rasayana Katha. Krishna Katha is Rasayana Katha. It's an ambrosia of nectar. It's like an Ayurvedic rejuvenating medicine, or how we say, nourishment, who gives nourishment. It's not a medicine directly, but like a nourishment who enlivens the soul in the relationship with Krishna to develop rasa. Actually, we are all after rasa. We are all after glorification, after relationships. So this psychology is in Krishna. And therefore, if we give the intention to Krishna instead to glorify others or ourselves, what is not very sympathetic, if we only glorify ourselves or like that we become glorified, we should give our this psychological problem that we have, that we like to become glorified or glorify other materialistic who are not worth to be glorified, that we glorify Krishna instead and Krishna's devotees. And in this way, that leads to the supreme perfection. That leads to devotional service. Because without Shravanam Kirtanam, in the association of devotees, devotional service will become only theoretical. Then it only will stay in hearing and chanting, but not in devotional service. Of course, it's also devotional service, but in practical devotional service, in doing something for the pleasure of the Lord, like for spreading Krishna consciousness, doing service in the temple. You see, where there is no bhakti in the temple, that temple is like that. Or a house where there is no bhakti, there is no bhakti process, it becomes like a desert. Becomes like that. There's no energy there. But as soon as kirtanam and bhakti yoga, this process, this practice is alive in somebody's house, that house becomes very energetic. It becomes actually a pilgrimage place. It becomes a power place. People nowadays always look where is power places to visit, to become rejuvenated, strength, and to become healthy, you know. But we can, every devotee can make a power place in your own home, can make a pilgrimage place in your own home. Huh? Don't have to travel all over the world, all over the universe to pangle out. No, where is a power place? Where there's special energy coming from the earth. Because this is material. The real power comes from Vaishnava scriptures and from the place where Vaishnava scriptures are practiced and where kirtan is performed in the association of devotees. Or even by yourself. And you keep the granth of Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita at home. And you read it aloud before the deities. That's also kirtanam. Krishna likes it very much. If a Prabhupada told, if nobody is there to listen, then you speak it anyway to the four walls or to your deities. On the altar, you can recite Srimad Bhagavatam or any Vaishnava scriptures. That's also kirtan. Prabhupada, mentioned, books are also kirtan. They're the written down kirtan. And they called it even the Priyatmadanga because it can be heard everywhere. In every household it can be heard. The Midanga can only be heard in a few blocks of the inner city, of the houses. And for the people who are just around at that time. But the Brihadmedanga can be heard anywhere. Therefore, Prabhupada was so much emphasizing to Disibu books, the Brihadmedanga, the Prim books and the Disibu books, so that the people can get opportunity to have these books, Vaishnava literature at home, have Krishna at home. I think I told you one time a story, but I always like to tell it again as this example. One time I went from house to house with books, and there was one lady, and then she told, "Oh, I don't like to have any more books. I throw them all out of my library." And I told, "Really?" They said, "Yes, why you did it?" And then she told, "Because they all influenced me badly, these books. Had a bad influence on me, so I throw them all out. I brought them to the broken house. I would say somewhere where there is old things, you know, what you don't need anymore."
Charitable.
Huh? Charitable. Oh, yeah, charitable, but you have to pay some money and get some books there, you know, but very cheap. I don't know the English word.
Second-hand market.
Yeah, like a flea market, but it's in a house, you know.
Garage
sale. That's an antiquated something else. I don't know the English, sorry. Anyway, it's not important. So she gave all the books away, and they thought, "Really? Can you show me?" And then she said, "Yeah, if you don't like to see." And then really, she had no more books in the shelf. And I said, "Oh, this is wonderful, you know, why you don't try with the books what I have here? And I have more downstairs I can bring to you." And then she agreed, you know, "Okay, bring." I installed all the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, all full set of Srila Prabhupada, the Buddha. Because shelf was completely empty. I told her, "This also doesn't look anything now, empty. What do you do in it? What do you put in the shelf? You have to put something." And she was happy about the books. And then I asked her, "So how you feel now?" She said, "Oh, I feel very nice." she immediately felt some very positive spiritual energy. And then she bought the whole set after that. I didn't have to even convince her much. She was automatically, the books convinced her. And one time I met a lady, she came from Australia to Switzerland, and I met her on the street, and when I gave her Srimad Bhagavatam, I think it was Bhagavatam, first canto, She always had something in her hand, you know, and put it over it, and then put it back. And this is not for me. And then I gave her signs of self-realization. Again, put something over it. So, not for me. And then I gave her on our first canto, I didn't give her. First I gave her signs of self-realization, then Bhagavad Gita. And then Bhagavad Gita, she put over it and she says, well, I already know. Then I became curious, what you are doing? Then she said, oh, I have a pendulum. You know, this, the pendle, you know? Pendulum?
Pendle.
Pendle. Pendle, it's a little iron thing on the thread. And then it goes around, and how it, if it goes around in a certain way, then it's positive for me, and if it is not going around, only very slow, or not, doesn't react at all, then it's not favorable for me. So she found out this book is, I already, and she found out, oh, this book I already know, without that she was reading it. And this book I don't need. Then I told her, okay, let's check. Then I gave her the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the pendulum went very fast. And they said, yes, that's the book I need. She bought the book. And then I asked her, well, so what are you doing here in Switzerland? And then she told, she went all over Switzerland, all over the world, she's traveling. I think she even wrote a book about that, about to find out about all the positive powers in certain places in the world. How much energy is coming out from the earth, you know, how much positive energy is there. And then I asked her, how you felt here in Switzerland? And then she told, oh, I was very high in the mountains with expectation there must be very good energy, but I was very surprised, very bad energy. Negative energy was there, very materialistic and very, very tense. So she was very not so much impressed about Switzerland from the energetical point of view. So she made these checks, you know. Of course, she also already checked me also. Otherwise, she would not speak with me, she told. Because I didn't even know that she checked me already. Otherwise, she would not speak with me. She checked me already out if I'm favorable and positive for her or not. That was a little interesting lady. Extra sense, you know. Anyway, she took the book. And God bless her, and hopefully she got some benefit by it. I never met her or heard anything of her anymore after that. She's from other down under, you know, from the, what do I say, from New Zealand or Australia, I don't remember. I think New Zealand she was. So yeah, these books, even by itself, they have so much energy, and therefore a book can never replace the electrical book. I only use it for when I'm going on tour or for lectures. I never know how the light condition is. But the book, you know, you can touch, you can smell, you can feel it. It is really, you feel this is a person, and you can keep it in you, with you all the time. It's nothing what can replace. It's the book. Krishna is there. Prabhupada is here. If we are giving our attention to these books, you know, and really read them every day, either for yourself or chant it before the Lord, or before your family members or guests in house, you know, you always recite and read from these books every morning, in the evening. That's tradition here in India. This kirtanam, to recite katha or leelas about Krishna's pastimes and about his Vaishnava literatures in the morning and in the evening. This is very auspicious. That creates auspiciousness. You don't have to watch TV. anyway nerves you all the time after it, and you regret that you watch TV again, not so much nonsense. But if you give your attention to Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata, Chaitanya Charitamrita, read this early in the morning and in the evening, you feel so much enlivened, so much benefited. Because the Lord in the heart is pleased, and He helps to purify your anarthas and your bad habits. We cannot do it by ourselves, but His books will do it. This sound vibration will do it. Books are also kirtan. So if we are reading these books, chanting these books, and chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, this helps. Each the reading books and chanting Hare Krishna helps each other to increase each other's tendency and absorption, to become more absorbed. So therefore we should not always only chant japa or in kirtan, but also read and recite these literatures. So in this way we can become more and more absorbed in devotional service. And in this way we can lift these books also, we can read them, we can absorb in them, we can distribute them, we can convince others about them, and we can lift them. Actually, these books to distribute is not very difficult. We only have to be convinced ourselves. Because if you become like a living Bhagavatam and you're giving this Bhagavatam, then the Bhagavatam itself is convincing with the person together that the person will take the book. Don't even have to speak much. So in this way we can actually become very dear to Krishna if we're engaging in these activities of hearing, chanting and remembering Krishna with great determination. So ultimately we become Krishna's devotee and attain bhava to Him, love to Him. Now maybe we don't have love to Him, we don't have bhava to Him, but if we are aspiring for this bhava and prema and engaging in shravanam, kirtanam with determination and be fixed in your vow, then that will be granted. It will be revealed. We cannot work it like on a job. If I work so and so hard, and then bhava and prema is the payment. No. It's the mercy will come. And the time is here when the fruit of love of God that is ripe, it will drop. We cannot overforce it. We cannot jump over the process and go to prema and bhava without following adaushada, bhachana kriya, and anatta nivritti, and sadhu sangha, and like that, and nishta, and ruchi, and asakti, and that. This we cannot attain if we don't follow the ABC from beginning. Therefore, bhakti is a scientific process, and it will lead ultimately to prema in a natural way. Because bhakti belongs to Krishna's internal energy. It's chit shakti. It's Krishna's svarup shakti, bhakti. When Vyasadeva was in his meditation, in his trance, after meeting Narad Muni, he saw Krishna surrounded by his energy. The internal energy, svarup shakti, bhakti, he saw. He saw all the incarnations and avatars of the Lord. He saw Krishna's Maya, and he saw the living entities who were under the grasp of Maya, under control of Maya. But Maya didn't control Krishna. Maya was completely under control of Krishna. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva, he got the darshan of the Purna Purusha, complete the Supreme Lord, with all his energies, not alone. Not only Vasudev Krishna alone. Because if Krishna is alone, then it's Vasudev. And if Krishna is surrounded by his energies, by his devotees, and by his avatars, then he's Krishna's. Krishna's tu Bhagavaya. Krishna through Bhagavan Swayam. Gaudiya Vaishnava, we don't worship Vasudeva or Krishna alone. We worship Krishna surrounded by his energies. Vyasadeva, he had this transcendental vision. Therefore, after that, out of his compassion, he composed this Sattvika Samhita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, for the benefit of the people, so that they also can realize Krishna in full and become his devotee. So that's the purpose of Srila Vyasadeva's work, ultimate fruit of his work. He worked so hard for the benefit of the people, but he failed in certain sense. He failed. He was not satisfied completely. Only after his Srimad Bhagavatam became developed from all his work and by the grace of Narada Muni, he ultimately could get the create or give the greatest benefit for the people. The Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, if you have Srimad Bhagavatam in your house, and if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, what's the use to read thousands of other books? No need. Because everything is there in that book. And everything will become revealed by that book. Because if you read Vaishnava literature, the interesting thing is, like for Srila Vyasadeva and Narada Muni, the more you hear it, the more you realize, you know, I never heard it. I hear it for the first time. Because Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga is dynamic. It becomes revealed, it becomes more and more opened. Therefore, the more we actually absorb ourselves in these transcendental literatures, the more our consciousness becomes opened, so that we can perceive Srimad Bhagavatam. That means Bhagavatam reveals, Krishna reveals to us and reveals himself more and more with everything that is connected with him. With his personality, with his names, with his qualities, with his associates, and with his devotional service and the relationship to him. Everything will become revealed. So I stop here. Hare Krishna. Rantarashima Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita Kichai. And Srila Prabhupada Kichai. Sri Guru Parampara Kichai. Sri Narada Muni Kichai. Srila Vyasadeva Kichai. Sri Shukadev Goswami Kichai. So you have a question, Prabhu? Yes? Prabhupada always told, what's the use of your preaching of all your kirtan if in the end the people will not take book?
In the end, but they don't have in the house,
you say. Yeah, you go there to purify the house so that ultimately to install the deity of Srimad Bhagavatam in their house. And then after that, if they have the Srimad Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's books in their house, and if they have chanting going on like that, then you can install deity. That's the next step, Prabhupada told. After they have the books, the next step is to distribute deities in every house. Gornitai, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Radha, Krishna. In every house, these deities should be. But it starts with books. The books purify the atmosphere, they prepare everything, because the Bhagavat is there, the Supreme Lord, and the whole association of devotees, Mahachans, Mahatmas, all in that house. And they purify the house, they prepare the house, so that you can also engage in the personal service of the Lord by installing the deity and worship the deity in your home.
Many of them, they are not interested in other things, so they would, and they prefer only kirtan and supreme
because maybe devotees themselves are not so much fired up for these books. You have to give them appetite so that they will become interested. That is preaching. Therefore, Prabhupada told, those who have life, they can preach. And you can enliven others that they will read. Of course, people nowadays become lazy because that's a symptom of Kali, manda sumanda matha yo manda bhyage upadrita. They become lazy. They don't like to read. They only watch TV all the time, although they also don't even watch. It's just flimmering there, you know, but nobody watches TV. Only to that some activity is going on in the house. That this will not become boring, but actually they don't watch TV. Because nobody is interested to watch TV, because there's nothing interesting there. And why they have the TV on? Because they think, oh, maybe something will become interesting, but in the end they're frustrated. No, nothing is interesting. Again, wasted my time. Therefore, what they do, they switch on TV from the morning until the evening, and they do all kinds of activities, you know, but they don't watch. They don't really watch. Only if there's some interesting sports thing, you know, football or some cricket, then they watch maybe. But they always be drinking and smoking and speaking and... Also again, not watching. But scripture needs attention. But the wonderful thing with the Vaishnava literature is, even if you don't read the whole book, even if you read a sloka of Bhagavad Gita, or a half a sloka, or even one word of this book, you know, it purifies you and changes your heart. Therefore, it creates a revolution in your heart. That vag visargo chanataga viplavo yasmin pratishloka abadavatyapi namnamna nantese yashonkintani vachrinvantika yantikrinanti sadava. Although it's not maybe not completely, perfectly compiled from the literary point of view, or Sanskrit grammar, maybe maybe has some defect in it, not complete rhyme of the slokas, you know, how it should be. But still, it is recognized by the devotees who are thoroughly honest and eager for the nectar. They don't look on detail. They want to see the nectar. They want to relish the nectar. And in this sense, you know, the nectar is not dependent on the details, on this by effect of a book. Every book can maybe have some mistake in it, but who cares? The message is important. But if you only look on mistake, you know, then you're only a crow. Crow. Varon. You're only eager, you know, to relish garbage. But the devotee is Hamsa. He likes to relish only the nectar. And anyway, we can try. But the more Kali Yuga will progressing, people, it's anyway destined to become more and more lazy and unintelligent and misguided and foolish. But the devotee can try, that's all. And become instrumental in the hands of Krishna. And even if one person of a family that you visit will take up this process and will accept, start to read some books, that's perfect. It's not the quantity. Sometimes we give too much emphasis of quantity and not be happy with even one who become devotee. And instead to make one devotee and actually really make him devotee, we only shave him up and become we consider ourselves successful. Yes, I make so many devotees, open so many temples, install so and so many deities. But then what? How after you don't hear reports anymore, how it is maintained and how it is developed and how actually these persons make further progress in direction of love to Krishna. That is not reported anymore. Isn't it?
Okay.
Also, that's the point.
Okay. Oh, one more question. Just like Sudhir Goswami was in the womb of his mother 14 years, just like Prahlad Maharaj also was so many years in the womb of his mother, and how this soul then grabbed the Bhagavatam and the releases all the what Narada had spoken to them and what Vyasadeva had spoken to them.
Yeah, because the soul in the womb of his mother, as we hear, it's pure. It's not polluted. No? And Prahlad Maharaj, we also know from Puranas, he had from previous life already Sukriti, that he became Prahlad. That he could hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and become Mahajan. But the pure soul has already awareness, consciousness, to perceive certain vibration. No? Because this is not the language that we speak. No? It's the vibration. No? And that is what the soul understands. It's the bhava again. And if Narada Muni was full of bhava, you know, when he spoke about Krishna and to his mother, and actually to the boy who was not born in that time, Parikshit Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad could feel this bhava, this ecstatic love from Narada, and therefore he became purified and I would say already from very beginning, from his life, he was a devotee. But it already started in previous life. That's already known. That one can attain such a kind of an advanced stage of bhakti, like Prahlad, you have to already have Sukriti from previous life, as devotee, experience as devotee. Even if it was only for a short time. So he takes it to the next life. And then by the association of pure devotee, then it became more enhanced, this bhakti, and he could further progress. And there Prabhupada writes in the Purport, therefore it's important that when a woman is pregnant with a child, that she actually should not sit before the TV with the child. No? She should read the Srimad Bhagavatam to the child, or some Krishna Leela. That's beneficial, because the child in the womb will receive this vibration and this energy and will purify him and will already prepare him to be a devotee when he takes birth. Hare Krishna. Any other question?
Yeah, you have a problem.
Today happens to be Yagadishi Day. Prabhupada mentions Yagadishi. In portions of his certain activities are not determined.
You have to maybe keep the microphone a little distant.
In the time paragraph of Babar, Prabhupada mentions about Yagadishi.
About the?
Ekadasi.
Ekadasi. Wow, Vrata. Ekadasi Vrata. Trita Vrata.
Devotional service, certain activities are called determined.
What is it called?
Certain activities are called determined.
Determined, yeah.
Unfortunately, in this verse, Prabhupada mentions about
yeah. Yeah, that's called Trita Vrata. You have to be determined in your following your vow. If you are not determined, you're taking vow, you become initiated, or you take up a process, making a vow to chant or to follow the principles, or to fast, or to don't do this and do that. But if you are not determined, you will not succeed. Maya will trick you and you will deviate. But Narad Muni says, you know, although maybe your devotee maybe temporarily deviates from devotional service, there's still not a loss. He will again, because he will remember this taste he had from previous time, although it was for some time, and that will stay with him, and he always will think about that, and ultimately will take up the process again. Either in this life or in another life. Therefore, to engage in bhakti yoga process, it's an installment of an eternal bank account. Prabhupada mentioned, it's an eternal bank account installment. Now if you put money on the bank, you know, it's not sure how much you get. How much is left in the end if you're entrusted. But if you entrust in bhakti yoga bank account, that will stay. It will not diminish. You will continue where you stopped and will either in this life later on or in next life. It's never lost. Narad Muni, even in the fifth chapter, first canto, he repeats two times. He emphasizes that in bhakti yoga it's never lost, even if there's deviation and temporary fall down. Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna is telling the same.